The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We're joined by Arthur Cummings, who's an ophthalmologist from the Wellington Eye Clinic at the Beacon. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you want to refer back to last Thursday, first of all.
Yes, last Thursday was World Sight Day. And I thought I'd just give a little bit of introduction to World Sight Day. It gets celebrated every year. And in 2020, The Lancet published an article on visual impairment. And what they found was that there are more than 1.1 billion people had untreated vision issues in 2020, projected to rise to 1.8 billion by 2050. But over 90% of those were from treatable vision loss. So things like cataract and things like uncorrected refractive error, so not having access to glasses. And so there was a huge mission to, by the year 2020, have people not having glasses be something of the past, but we failed at that. So that's an issue. And I thought I'd bring two other things in. The European Union in 2021 had this paper on the Green Paper on Aging. It had all sorts of ideas around healthy aging, but vision and hearing were not included.
Okay.
So a group of ophthalmologists made them aware of that, and that's now been added. So they know now that they recognize that you're going to be in a better position to age well if you can see and hear well. And then the final one is a very nice feather in a cap for Ireland. Is the United Nations has until recently not seen vision and hearing as part of primary healthcare. And thanks to Bangladesh, Antigua and Barbuda, and Ireland, they were the first countries to advocate for including vision in primary healthcare. And so now, globally, vision and hearing are part of primary healthcare.
Okay, and of course, here we have the PRS scheme, which enables people who might not have means to get access to these kind of helps.
Exactly right.
Okay, now, one of the things about sight loss, you mentioned cataracts, and constantly on television you see ads for, helping children with cataracts to get operations and so on and so forth. Cataracts presumably are apparent, they can be easily seen. But there's something else, and we have a number of questions from our listeners about glaucoma. That's kind of insidious, isn't it?
That's exactly right. They call glaucoma a thief in the night for the normal kind of glaucoma. So the most common kind of glaucoma is called open-angle glaucoma. So you don't really know you have it. You don't have any symptoms, but very slowly your visual field starts constricting from the periphery. And as I say, you're symptomless. So for this group of people, it makes an awful lot of sense from the age of 40 just to regularly see your optometrist. And regularly means every 2 years. And they can monitor what the nerve looks like, what your visual field looks like, and what your pressures are. And if you stay on top of things, you can certainly keep it at bay.
And the pressure test, it's a little puff test, isn't it?
That's right. There are many different pressure tests, but many of them are just puff tests, exactly.
Yeah. And if you detect something wrong with the pressure, that's the time to start medicating. How onerous is the medication?
So today, it's a very interesting point. So we used to start with medication, and some of the new medications are just one drop a day. But there's quite a shift in the recent few years of, in fact, turning to laser for the first line of treatment. A laser called SLT, selective laser trabeculoplasty, takes about a minute, gets applied to the eye, you need no drops, and it'll probably give you 2 years of
reprieve.
Exactly, and then you can repeat it again. So it means you can push the drops out to maybe 3 or 4 years from the diagnosis time. And then if you start using drops and get to a point where drops are no longer useful, then you can start doing surgery to correct it on the long term.
Okay, what is glaucoma? What's actually happening?
It's a really good question. So glaucoma is very complicated, but to make it simple, there are three things. It's where the pressure inside the eye is too high for your eye. And as a result, this high pressure damages the nerve. And as a result of the nerve damage, your visual field starts constricting. So right in front of you, you might still be 20/20, but from the sides, your visual field starts shrinking.
Now, the question's coming in. I have acute angle glaucoma. Acute angle closure glaucoma. I'm 62-year-old with good overall vision, but my pressures are inclined to go up from time to time. I'm on drops. Would you recommend lens replacement? That's from Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie, that's a super question. So for the listeners, this is a different kind of glaucoma. This is a mechanical thing where the front of the eye is just congested and the iris blocks the flow of fluid, so the pressure can suddenly rise. So there are two ways of dealing with it. The one is to do a thing called a peripheral iridotomy. It's done either surgically or even better with a laser. And this can often buy you 10 years, where if the angles did close, this little pathway that you've created with the iridotomy can keep the pressure down. But that you always have to monitor, where the moment you replace the lens, it's sorted for life. You never have to think about the angles again, plus you never have to think about cataracts again because you've replaced the lens.
Next one. If you're getting injections for wet macular degeneration, does dry macular degeneration continue in that eye?
Again, a very, very good question, and not one we'd probably be faced with often, but the answer is yes. So dry macular degeneration is simply where the photoreceptors, the rods and cones, are slowly but surely deteriorating. And a wet lesion is when blood vessels under this area break and you get a bleed. So the truth is that the dry condition continues to progress, but the acute treatment is on the wet macular degeneration to try and reverse the acute loss of sight that you get from a wet lesion.
In the last 5 months, my left eye has been very badly bloodshot. No impact to the eye. I just woke up with it. Can you please advise? So this suddenly came out of nowhere.
Yeah, so that's a very common thing, but normally that would clear up quite quickly, and it may occur, you know, recur a few times, and then it's nothing to worry about, except you need to have your blood pressure checked, your coagulation, your clotting, and so forth. But if you have it for 5 months, you definitely want to have it checked out.
Is this
properly.
A blood vessel kind of bursting? Or?
Yes, exactly. But when it's chronic for 5 months, you want to find an underlying reason. So it's likely something to do with blood pressure. There might be a little local lesion in one of the vessels in the eye that can be lasered to stop this vessel from breaking down.
I think you've already answered this one, but I'll repeat it. My father and parental grandmother and my aunt, all on the same side, had glaucoma and macular degeneration. Is this genetic? So should I be getting regular tests? I'm a fellow in my 50s.
Yeah, you should be. So glaucoma, generally speaking, you have a 1 in 200 to 1 in 50 chance of getting over a lifetime. If you have a family history, it might go up 10 times. So it's still relatively low, but it's a whole lot higher than if you don't have the family history. And again, as we said earlier, if you treat this early, you really, you know, prevent long-term problems. One way of thinking about glaucoma is, we have 1.2 million nerve fibers in the eye, each eye, in the optic nerve. And we lose these fibers annually. We lose them as we age. So glaucoma is an accelerated loss of this. So what we're really trying to achieve with glaucoma management is that by the time you come to pass away, you still have enough nerve fibers that you have sight. You don't want the nerve fibers to you know, crash out
before you crash out.
Yes, because then you lose your sight. Exactly.
I'm a person in my 50s. I have ERM in one eye. It seems to be getting worse. I'm a mature student with a lot of reading to do, and there's a line distortion when reading. What other than surgery can I do to prevent it from getting worse?
Right. So, Pat, an ERM is an epiretinal membrane, and we all have jelly inside the eye. And a child, the jelly is quite firm. It's like a ball of gel. And in someone who's 85 years old, it's all water. So the gel is always in the process of breaking down. And when the jelly comes loose from the back of the eye, it may lead to this thing called an epiretinal membrane, which is nothing more than a healing response to the jelly that's come off the back of the eye. And it's a little membrane on the surface. In years gone by, we didn't see them that often. We only saw them when we could physically see them inside the eye. Now with OCT devices, we see that 1 in 10 people have them. So they're quite common. If it got to the point where it's distorting your vision, you definitely want to see an ophthalmologist, a retinal specialist, who can peel it off. They'll make the decision as to what the risk-benefit ratio is, but they can peel it off. I know of no other conservative treatment to take care of it.
If your retina detaches and you lose your sight, can you ever get your sight back?
That's a super question too. So it's one of the frustrations of retinal surgeons is if you have a retinal detachment that involves your central vision, your macula, and it's treated within 5 days or so, and the retina is reattached again, you'll regain all your vision with losing no quality of vision. If you do it within 2 weeks, you'll regain some vision, but it won't be the same as it used to be. And if it's longer than a certain period of time, even though you might reattach the retina perfectly, you still don't gain useful vision. So it's all about timing.
Are cataracts more common in the over 60s, or are they now appearing in the under 60s? And what should you do to keep it in check apart from regular appointments?
So because cataracts are an age-related condition, they're always more common in the person over 60s. But what we are seeing is today we make a diagnosis of cataracts in 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds for a number of reasons. So cataracts aren't only due to aging. They're due to the side effects of certain medications, the most common one probably being steroids. They can be due to trauma. They can be a family history. So the best thing to do to protect them is to probably wear, you know, sunglasses when you're outdoors. And there's some information in the literature that using vitamin C on a daily basis, just a normal dose, is also quite protective.
Is there anything else in the pipeline for dry macular degeneration? My mum has Veleda already, had cataract ops previously, but just wondering if there's anything else on the horizon as her sight is still failing.
Wow, that's interesting. So this person's very much up to speed because Veleda is a new treatment called PBM, photobiomodulation. It's very new, but it's been FDA approved now. And it's using light to reactivate the energy cells, the energy powerhouses, the mitochondria inside the photoreceptors, and it can work very well for the right person. I think the only other thing that I'm seeing is not specifically in macular degeneration, but a form of macular degeneration that's not age-related called geographic atrophy, where they're getting very good results with genetic therapy. So I think gene therapy is going to be part of our future.
This one, I had a cataract removed in May. I still feel as if there's something in my eye, a peripheral side. Consultant said it should subside, but it hasn't. Sometimes I get pain in the eye and a discharge in the morning. What should I do?
Right, so this sounds like potentially the little incision. So it's a very small incision, sort of just over 2 millimeters, but that the lips of the incision might have healed in
a bit of scar?
Yeah, there could be a tiny bit of scarring, a little thing that's just catching it. So that can that should be looked at again. You can put dye in the eye that'll show when you blink if it's catching anything. And if it is, you can buff it down with a laser, or you can even just with a blade, you can smooth it out.
I've been told I have pseudo-exfoliation glaucoma and have been prescribed monopost eye drops. Can you explain the condition, as I'm frightened that it can get worse and my sight will be affected?
Yeah, so pseudo-exfoliation is a very interesting condition. Exfoliation is only common in Denmark, and people who are glass blowers get the condition. So you get these flakes that develop on your lens causing cataract and also into the trabecular meshwork causing glaucoma. So pseudo-exfoliation, no one really knows what it is, but it looks like you're a glass blower, except these people aren't glass blowers. But you have these flakes on the surface. So you've got to treat glaucoma if you have glaucoma, and then you've also got to think about treating cataracts earlier rather than later. Because what the pseudo-exfoliation does is it weakens the ligaments that support the lens. And if you leave it too late, when you do the cataract surgery, you might find the ligaments break and you don't have a support system for the new lens. So just keep on top of things with your ophthalmologist.
Now, a number about floaters. I've been seeing floaters a lot more in the past year, but now I'm seeing black spots as well. Do I need to see someone?
So floaters are black spots. They're just shadows. It's any opacity within the gel that's casting a shadow on the back of your eye. So when the gel is close to the back of your eye, it casts a very specific shadow. As it moves further forward, it casts less of a shadow. But it can be anything. It's little opacities in the gel or little filaments in the gel.
But no harm.
They can harm. They can be harmful if you've seen a sudden increase in them, and especially if they're also light flashes. Then you want to go and make sure that the retina's not in trouble. So you want to see an ophthalmologist with those symptoms.
I have a floater in my direct line of sight in my left eye, and pretty much all day it's in the way. Can this be removed? I'm 55. That's from Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia, it's extremely bothersome. You need to find a vitreoretinal surgeon who's sympathetic to this. Some only do vitrectomies when they're doing a concurrent retinal detachment, but there are many that are empathetic to this and who realize a floater can be unbelievably disturbing. And so you see a vitreoretinal specialist, your ophthalmologist or your optometrist can refer you to someone who specializes in removing the gel.
I spend a lot of time in the dark on my phone in bed, and I seem to be partly blinded by a black blob for ages when I switch it off. Is this bad? Should I stop? Asks Tess.
Yeah, Tess, what you should do is keep the lights on when you're looking at your phone. Try and hold the phone further away. But when the only light is the phone and the rest of the room's dark, it means the only part of your retina being stimulated is the macula. And this is your photoreceptors, the ones that you rely on to see 20/20 and to see color. So I think put on ambient lights and maybe try and do a bit less on your phone or hold it further away.
And the final one, is it ever too late to get the SLT for glaucoma? My father's 83. He's lost peripheral vision in one eye, but can see otherwise. He also has a cataract.
No, it's not too late, not at all. If he has a cataract too, it might make a lot of sense when he has cataract surgery to see a cataract surgeon who deals with
new
glaucoma
lens.
Too. And they can put a new lens in, but also a little thing called the MIGS, a microinvasive glaucoma shunt, a little shunt.
Arthur, we have so many more flooding in, but thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Arthur Cummings, consultant ophthalmic surgeon at the Wellington Eye Clinic at The Beacon. Thank you very much. And that's all we...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.